I wasn't going to say anything, but before we get started, I have to tell you, I caught something yesterday. I don't know what it is, but my throat is sort of closing up. I can feel it. So I just want you to know if my voice goes out in the middle, that's what happened. And I know we have a lot of huggers here in our church, but just know at your own risk. And if I don't get a hug today, I won't feel bad about it. But at your own risk, give you a fair warning. But this morning, our scripture lesson comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In the region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We started our journey in Rome, and we're coming to a close in our sermon series by Ralph, the book titled On the Way to Bethlehem. And we end up, as you can see the signs, today in Bethlehem. At Christmas, we celebrate a simple but profound truth. Love came down. Luke tells the story of Jesus' birth, and he highlights three details that help us understand just what kind of love that came down and entered our world on that day. Luke talks about the manger, Bethlehem, and the shepherds. Jesus, first and foremost, was not born in a palace or a home, but in a stable laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. That detail matters. I want to share a story from this book that Rob tells. It tells a story from 1989. One Sunday morning, President George H.W. Bush and his wife Barbara were entering St. John's Episcopal Church in Washington, D.C. A homeless man named Wallace Brown asked the president, "Would you pray for me?" President Bush replied, "No." "But why don't you come inside and pray for yourself?" So the man did. And he kept coming every Sunday after that and brought his crumpled dollar bill to give every Sunday. Though sometimes unwelcome because of his social status, he found peace and belonging in that church. And when he died, his unclaimed body would have been buried in what is known as the Potter's Field in Washington. But the members of the church petitioned and were granted to have legal claim to his remains as his spiritual next of kin. They interred him in a sacred columbarium next to the church, where fewer than 100 people have been so honored since the church was built in 1816. The story of how Mr. Brown came to be buried at St. John's Episcopal Church in Washington, D.C., all started when a person of high authority invited someone of low estate to have his own connection to God. So, how much more significant then is the Christmas story? The news that the one with the highest authority of all of heaven and earth comes down to meet us, lowly, sinful, messy, dirty human beings, not in a palace, but in a cattle stall, in a manger. Love came down at Christmas. Now, moving on to the significance of Bethlehem. Luke tells us that Joseph and Mary traveled to Bethlehem because Joseph belonged to the family line of King David. Bethlehem was his ancestral home. Now, everyone knows this, but does everyone know why Bethlehem is David's ancestral home? Do you know how that came about? To find that out, we have to go all the way back to the Old Testament. And many usually look to the prophets for answers when they look to the Old Testament, because they prophesied that Jesus was going to be born. But you actually have to go back even further to the historical books of the Old Testament, to the book of Ruth. Does anyone know the story of Ruth? Ruth was a Moabite, a foreigner. She married a Jewish man, but he died young. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, lost her husband and both her sons. Grieving and broken, Naomi decides to return home. Guess where she returned to? Bethlehem. And urged Ruth to return to her own people because she was still young, had no child, and had another chance to find someone else to remarry. But Ruth refused. She spoke words to Naomi that many of us recognize or might recognize. She says, "Where you go, I'll go. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." The first time these words were used was not in a wedding. Amazing how we take things out of context to fit our situation, right? They were spoken in grief by a young widow to her mother-in-law. How is your relationship, or how was your relationship with your mother-in-law? So they go back to Naomi's homeland, to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, they had nothing. Ruth gathered leftover grain from the fields, which was a practice allowed by the Torah, which is God's law. They were commanded, if you are taking out the wheat and you miss some, don't graze it again. Leave it. For who? So that a poor person or a foreigner traveling can pick those up and help themselves and feed. To provide for the poor and the foreigners, the field just happens belonged to who? Boaz, a relative of Naomi. When Boaz learned Ruth's story, he showed her kindness, protection, and generosity. And when Naomi heard this act of mercy from Boaz, something shifted in her heart. Earlier in the story, she had said, "The hand of the Lord has turned against me. God is against me. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care for me." But now she said, after she heard the story, she says, "Blessed be the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Pain had clouded her faith, but mercy reopened her eyes. Isn't that true for us sometimes? Suffering can make God feel distant. But small acts of love can also remind us that God has not forgotten us. They may not erase the pain, but they do point us toward hope. Boaz was what the scripture called a kinsman redeemer. Now, I talked about this before, but it's a relative who can restore what has been lost. This was another provision in the Torah, especially for women who fell on hard times and lost their property. In such instance, the nearest male relative served as their redeemer. So Boaz married Ruth, and they had a son named Obed. Obed became the father of Jesse, and Jesse became the father of David. And the story ends with Naomi holding her grandson, Obed, who eventually becomes David's great-great-grandfather, I think. And Bethlehem became a place of new life and new redemption for Naomi and Ruth. This is how Bethlehem came to be associated with David as his ancestral home. And a generations later, in the same town of Bethlehem where this all took place, another child is born, Jesus, who is called, ironically, our Redeemer. Did you make the connection there? But notice this. David's grandmother, Ruth, was a story about a Moabite widow who depended on provisions in the Torah, or God's law, that was for the welfare of the poor and of foreigners. And when Luke mentions Bethlehem, this is the backdrop of Jesus' family history. A history that came about because a foreigner received compassion. It is no wonder that Jesus said and did the things he did, putting this into the story. Jesus showed compassion for Samaritans, people who were racially outcasts at the time. Jesus even suggested in the parable of the Good Samaritan, there weren't no such thing as Good Samaritans in the eyes of the Jewish people, but tells the story of a Good Samaritan, that they are to be considered as neighbors during a time when most Jewish people would have considered only fellow Israelites as neighbors. And no wonder he showed mercy to the widows in the stories. No wonder he said, I was a stranger and you welcomed me in his Beatitudes. But do you see the pattern? Ruth's love for Naomi. Boaz, a person of high authority, his love for the poor foreign widow. And Jesus' love for those who were considered outsiders of his time. Love came down at Christmas through a story of mercy. This leads to my next explanation of the significance of the shepherds. When the angel announced Jesus' birth, they didn't go to the kings or the priests. Who did they go show up to? To the shepherds. Shepherds carried a strange reputation throughout the Bible. They had noble roots. David was a shepherd, but they were often looked down upon, considered uneducated and unreliable. So how could the same people be so respected on the one hand and be viewed with contempt on the other? Well, because we're human beings, but to explain, I want to share another one of Rob's stories. He shared, while I was in college, I worked in the cafeteria. Every now and then, I got to go and do other kinds of work, like catering food service events on campus. Often, these events were at the president's house, where he and his wife hosted special functions. One evening, I attended a reception at the college president's home as an honor student. The president's wife greeted me warmly, learned my name, asked about my life. The very next night, I returned to the same house, but this time, through the back door. wearing an apron, carrying food trays. I greeted her again. And guess what? She didn't recognize him at all. She gave me orders sharply, irritated that I didn't know my way around the kitchen. I went back to my dorm, embarrassed and angry, until a deeper truth surfaced. I hadn't changed. Only how I was seen had changed. At that moment, he felt as if God said to him, "You are right, Rob. You are the same person. Remember this, because people will look at others by what they see on the outside. But everyone is a child of mine, worthy of treating with utmost respect." That's why the shepherds matter. They were the first congregation to praise Christ because they represented God's desire to restore people, to restore dignity, identity, and belonging that their identity have been eroded over time because of how the other people perceive them. This is the love that came down at Christmas that we have been invited to receive and share. Love that shows mercy. Love that restores a person's dignity, identity, and belonging. Love that invites and is not afraid to be in the mess and be vulnerable. God did not wait for the world to be cleaned up. God came right into the mess. God didn't say to us, "First, get yourself right, then I will help you." Strangely enough, many Christians think this way. They feel like if you have to be in a church, you have to be perfect. No. It's the opposite, actually. God didn't say, "Get your church straight, then I'll come." No. God says, "I will be there, and I will come into your life, whether it is broken, messy, dirty, full of sin. I will come and I'll help you to be restored." God came right into the mess. Our world is still messy, marked by fear, violence, injustice, and pain. And if you don't believe me, I don't know where you've been living. But God still comes. Not as a conquering king, but as a vulnerable child, inviting us to this love. So just as the homeless man was invited inside, the shepherds were invited to worship, and we are invited too. The shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen. Love came down at Christmas, and love still comes down. May we receive it. I'll end with this. Here we don't do our first lectionary lesson reading. But if you look at the bulletin, we have our first lectionary reading that on the other side they read. And it's from Romans. You can find the scriptures on your worship order. But that text says all of the laws are fulfilled by doing one thing. Can you guess what that is? By love. If you love, you can do no wrong. It is, I love this shirt, that's why I wear it, by our love. And so this is the goal. May you receive love on Christmas. And by that love, by our love that we receive, may we then share it to the world so that the world may know how much, just how much God loves and cares for them deeply. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.